Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are here for another great episode of Real Talk with Darian A. House. Tonight, we want to talk about something that is happening right now in the body of Christ. We want to really discuss what are the proper steps, the proper things to do as I am, you know, wanting to become the bishop, or as we know, the bishop is a desired office, or elevating to the apostle. What are the proper things that I need to do? Tonight, joining us, we have Elder Rod Harris out of Tallahassee, Florida, and hopefully later in this segment, Apostle Calhoun will be able to join us. Elder Rod, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Bishop. How are you?
I am well. I am well. You know, in this season, we are dealing with a lot of issues in the body, where we have lots of leaders popping up all over the place all of a sudden, and we're not having the proper training. We're not having the proper tools in place to know how to handle the body of Christ or what we're supposed to be doing. And so this is what prompted me to do this show tonight. What can you say about this time that we're living in, that everybody is becoming the bishop and the apostle and the chief prophet and all of these different titles that are being passed around?
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Through all of these titles, of course, there needs to be some type of training and time to set aside to make sure that someone is prepared. But I believe your question is, in my opinion, what do I think needs to take place in order to step into those particular positions? Or
yes, let's talk about that. What should we be looking for? What should be taking place prior to stepping into these different offices?
Number one, there should be some type of experience
right
behind what you're doing. So before you even be considered for something, you should at least be either, one, gaining knowledge on it, or already working in that particular field, office, position, however. It's just like with a natural job. You can't be considered for a supervisor position if you haven't had any training, or, you know, you hadn't at least stood beside someone who's in that position to learn some of the things that it takes for them to be able to handle the day-to-day business of being a supervisor within the realm of that company.
Right.
And then as you begin to learn and be able to do things on your own as they allow you, then that shows them that you're ready for that next step. And when a position becomes open, they can, you know, say, hey, let's put a Rod up for this particular supervisor position. I think he's ready for it, and he can handle, you know, all that it takes within this, you know, ramification of this department or area.
Right.
Another thing that I believe in, and as I was thinking about it today, there are three entities of life that we should see beyond your spiritual growth when it comes to falling into a position, or not falling, but being placed into a position or being consecrated into such offices. And
right.
Is consistency, mm-hmm. maturity, and stability.
That's
and
right.
When you have one of those out of place, then everything else is not in order. You can't be mature and still be inconsistent and not stable, because when you're mature, that means you have a level of wisdom that will help mm-hmm. you be stable, and by being stable, that's going to make you consistent, because that means people will see that you're sticking to certain things. If you have a job, they don't see you working 1 minute and you saying praise God for this particular job, and then 3 months later you're not working, or 3 months later you quitting that job and you going to another job. Or
right.
1 minute you staying here, the next minute you there, and the next minute you over here. It's just too much inconsistency. When you're not stable, you're not consistent, then that shows a default or a defect in your maturity level. Because when you're mature, you're able to stand at a certain place in life and say, okay, I can't keep going through this cycle. And if you and that correlates with one of the qualifications of a bishop and even mm-hmm. a deacon in the Bible, that you must rule your house well. Most people just look at it as being able to maintain, you know, the rules and regulations of, you know, governing your children and, you know, keeping your house in order as far as your kids and your wife and everything like that. But that's beyond
right.
just being able to keep your kids behaved. Ruling your house well, meaning, you know, there isn't any financial problems where you getting put out your house or you can't pay your bills on time. You know, that's all that falls within that one part of ruling your house well. Are you able to administrate and manage the day-to-day
right.
keeping the roof over your head, your utilities, you know, gas in your car, food, you know, all that type of stuff. I understand that you come into hard times at moments because God is taking you through whatever test or trial, but it shouldn't be all the time.
Right. Right. And these are things that are being seen in the body of Christ, that we are having so many inconsistencies. There's so many things that are being shown, or we're seeing differences happening in the life of these so-called leaders that are rising up in this time, where 1 minute, you know, it's a church here, the next minute the church is no longer there. 1 minute, you know, we're praying in the home, the next minute we're doing something. You know, God is a God of order, and he does things decently and in order. And so we as leaders have to realize that we affect those who connect to us. So we can't have a inconsistent life and expect to be effective in the kingdom. So tonight, you know, we really, really, that's a good place to start, is being effective and being consistent. Because my belief is, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to be consistent. Elder Rod, what are some of the things that in ministry that will come up against you and will cause you to say, hey, I don't think this is for me, or wait a minute, I think I might have made a mistake? Because I feel like there are a lot of people that are saying that I am supposed to pastor, or I'm supposed to be the apostle, or I'm supposed to be the bishop. And then when all of the trials start coming that goes along with that, they pull back as if to say, I think I made a mistake. What are some of the things that will come against you when you start working the ministry, when you start working this thing?
First of all, before you even walk into such call or office, there must be a surety within your own spirit from God, not
right.
Oh, I'm going to do this because I done had three prophets prophesy to me that I'm going to be a pastor, so
wow.
Me to do it, or Sister so-and-so said, it's my season, I'm with you all the way, or, you know,
right.
Got my family following me everywhere. No. You pray and ask God, okay, is this it? You know, and there will come confirmation through word of prophecy or so forth to let you know, hey, I'm with you. Now, when you
right.
step into this, you can guarantee there's going to be folk that's going to talk about you. There's going to be people that's going to, you know, bet each other on let's see how long they're going to pastor or be apostle. I give them
right.
I give them 6 months. I give them 3 months. So that ain't going to work. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't do that. No, they ain't right. They ain't ready for it. They too young. You get all kinds of talk. But when you are
yeah.
sure, then regardless of what happens, you could be in a place, and I know I've experienced, and other people that I know have experienced, you can be in a place where everything is going well, and then where you are, and people say, they don't want you there no more. Are you going
right.
to just give up off of that? Because it could be the same way of you thinking, okay, I really believe God has called me to be in business or be in corporate America. And then the first
right.
corporate job you get, you got 3 months, and they say, well, we're going to have to let you go. We have no need for you. You going to give up then? No. You
no.
got to take your time and say, okay, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to revamp? You look for wisdom out of the situation. You don't give up.
Right.
Wisdom comes out of every situation and trial that God puts before you. So, number one, you're going to get
right.
people talk about you, and that's going to give you the wisdom that you're not going to have everybody in your corner. Even the folks that say
right.
they're going to quit, you're not going to beat up. So that lets you know, okay, I got to do what the Lord's saying, and I have to get my own momentum. I can't be waiting on everybody else to come. There has to be momentum.
Right.
Number three is the fact that there has to be consistent push and encouragement from other seasoned leaders that has been where you are right now. Because if you don't have that guidance or those advisors there with wise counsel there, then
yeah.
you could be subject to going to this place of maybe this is not for me, and you give up. The Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counsel, wise counsel that is, not just any kind of counsel, but wise counsel. And the Bible says if there's two or more that are in agreement, then God would be in the midst. So if there's two or more that are saying no, this is just a rough patch, you know, take your time and see where God wants you to go and go from there, then that's God being in the midst of saying, I'm taking you through this so that you can understand and be a better witness to someone else when they go through.
Right. That's correct. And something that you said that really resonated with me is this. I'm not a bishop or apostle because of the people or because of what people say or because of what anybody has prophesied to me. This is something that I have to know in my knower, because there are days that are going to come that people are going to turn their back. People are not going to be there to support you and to push you. And so you have to learn how to continue to go on even when people turn their back and they are not there to support you. And I pray that there are leaders that are listening tonight, because oftentimes we lead because we think that it makes us popular, or we lead because we think that it makes us look good. But leadership is not for children. It's for adults. And we have to understand that just because you are a leader, it does not mean that everybody is going to be on your side. And you're never, ever going to make everybody happy. So you have to lead because of what God says and not because of what you feel or because of what anybody else says, because the very person that's in your face praising you and telling you how much you have helped them and how you're such a great leader, that will be the first one to go out and talk about you and scandalize your name and drag your name through the mud.
Right.
So we have
That's
to make sure that we are doing what we're doing not because of somebody and their praise, but because of what God has spoken unto us, number one. The next thing that I want to address is because we're seeing a influx of, and what I call, and this is getting ready to get a little hairy, so I pray that, you know, you all can handle what's going to come forth tonight, because I'm telling you, it's been a long day, and I feel crazy in the Holy Ghost tonight. But
oh, Lord.
We are dealing with, in this season, a group of people that I call renegades, because you, number one, are not in the proper place, or you have not walked through the proper places in ministry in order for your anointing to be authenticated. And so you are basically an intruder who's carrying a title. And we are a man in you, and we are dancing over all types of things that you should be mature past in this time, because we should not be walking in the office of bishop or apostle, and we still cannot keep ourselves to ourselves. We should not be walking in the office of bishop or apostle, and we still can't be faithful to our wives, or we still cannot be men that take care of our families. We should not be in these offices and still be doing certain things, okay? There are no perfect people, but you should be delivered from something by the time you get the bishop and apostle. So, yeah. Elder Rod, what do we do in an hour that we're dealing with renegade people who have not walked through the proper channels to walk in the office of bishop, to walk in the anointing of the apostle? By the time you get to the apostle, you should have the fivefold ministry working in you. So just because you can stand up and prophesy, that does not make you the apostle. So, Elder Rod, what can you say about, because, you know, I know we can call some folks right off the top of our head that we've watched and you have not gone through those qualifying factors. What can we? How do we fix this in the body of Christ?
The number one thing is it's twofold. And it's just like with the word. The Bible says the word is sharper than any double-edged sword. And what makes the word sharp is through speaking in, and the word is so confrontational. And where I'm going with that is the fact that, number one, the way that we could stop it is through prayer, and what I mean by prayer is by speaking what God says in our prayers for that particular person, that as the word flows out and get in the atmosphere, it may cause their spirits to align with what the word says. Number two is by being bold enough as a Christian, number one, as prophets and bishops and mature saints of God, to stand up and say, this is not the will of God. And I think, and this goes beyond just for those who are renegades and just out there doing whatever they want to do because they think it's right. It goes beyond that. Other things that are happening in the church, we neglected to speak against, that it's high time for us to speak against it, because that's what we did back in the day. And we're not saying against it now, it's becoming more prevalent, and now we got a problem, but still not saying anything. So we must stand up in prayer and stand up in boldness and confront the situation. Second thing that I think we must do is understand what being a renegade prophet, pastor, bishop, even elder, understanding what those, being a renegade person in a title is. And according to Webster's Dictionary, a renegade is a person who abandons the religious
political or philosophical beliefs that he or she
right.
wants to have.
Right.
And accepts opposing or different beliefs.
Right.
So it basically means that if you had a belief that there should be proper rank, proper protocol for you to get to the office of a bishop or to the office of a prophet or apostle, now by you being a renegade, that basically means in order for you to get there, you've put aside those beliefs that you are supposed to have because they keep you at a certain standard, they keep you at a certain level of maturity and at a standard
right.
because you don't want to wait, you put the good morals to the side and say, this is what I'm going to do anyway. Basically,
right.
I know what's right, but I'm going to choose what's wrong.
Right.
And I'm going to accept that is I know it's wrong, but I'm going to accept that this is what it's going to be, so I'm going to do this. That's what
right.
makes you a renegade. It's not just because somebody don't believe in your call or that God has put you to that point or God
right.
is calling you to that office. It doesn't mean that. It just means you're not doing what you're supposed to do to make sure that you're ready for that level. Because when you
right.
when you talk about accepting and really being affirmed and confirmed and consecrated as a prophet, bishop, or apostle, those are the three most highest rankings in the order of the church and the government of the church. It comes with a different territory, and with a different territory,
yes.
a different region, there comes different demons and spirits that attack you to try to make you feel like you're not in that office or
yes.
God called you to that place.
Yes.
Another thing we must understand is being a renegade is backsliding, being disloyal,
yes.
being radical or rebellious, revolutionary, a runaway, traitorous. You're being a traitor. You're going back on your word of what you said, God, I'm going to be faithful. Faithful in what? Being, having a standard and living by the standard. God is a God of order. So if you're saying
right.
you're serving God, then why get out of order but say you're in order? That it doesn't make sense when you're serving a God of order, but you're out of order.
Right. Right.
Than what you're preaching and teaching. And when you get into that point where you're out of order and you're saying it's the God of order who put you out of order, number one, you're lying, and number two, it's going to be evident in your fruit of ministry and in your fruit and you preaching the word.
Right.
Because then you're trying to operate off of talent and gift, and that's not going to last always. God can surely take that talent and gift just as quick as he gave it to you.
This is right.
What helps you
this
to stand
right.
in the midst of your office, what helps you to go through all the backlash and all the strife and all the warfare, what helps you bear fruit in your ministry is the Holy Spirit, which is the God of order. You need order,
yeah.
not just in the spirit, but in the natural. Beloved, I wish
right.
that I may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. As your soul prosper and be in order, I want your natural to be in order and prosper. That's what
That's
God
right. That's right. That's absolutely correct. And this is something that we have to understand. Something that you said that popped out was rebellious and runaway. All right? Rebellious and runaway. A lot of what we're seeing right now with a lot of the young leaders, apostles, bishops, it's rebellion and runaway. What am I saying? I'm saying that we have come into a season of sugarcoating the word for so long. And Elder Rod, you correct me if I'm wrong now, but we've come into a time where the word has been sugarcoated for so long that when the real word goes forth, people run from it. Yeah. And, or either they stay and they go through a season of rebellion. Because I've been told that it's okay for me to be who I am or what I want to be and still say I'm saved. I've been told that it's all right for me to still do this, that, and the third and still say I'm saved. And so when the real leaders come along and you mess around and link up to a real leader and that leader starts to deal with you in your issue or in your mess, then we get into a place of rebellion, right? That's the first phase. And then the next thing that happens is we fall over into that place of disobedience. And then we go to a place of running away, all right? Which is why we see a lot of the affirmations that are now rising up because we have runaways. Okay, something that was said earlier in the conversation was the renegade. All right, so the renegade, which basically comes with a whole lot of other stuff that's being imparted into the people, because we have to understand that if you are a part of a ministry, that your leader is not in order, your leader is not doing the orderly things of God, then you have to understand that your leader is now an infection to your life. Your leader is no longer helping you, but they are hurting you, all right? So there is no such thing as sitting under a ministry because, you know, the word of God is true. And, you know, I know what to allow to come in my spirit or what to allow to be embedded in my spirit and what to, you know, throw away. No. That is not something that is biblical. We have to understand that order flows from the head down.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when we get into a place of rebellion, then we run away. All right? The Bible says that he who will not take chastisement, it calls them a bastard. All right? So we have all of these young men who are angry because somebody told them, I can't lay my hands on you and consecrate you because you're living a homosexual life. And the word of the Lord speaks against that. Right? I can't lay my hands upon you and consecrate you because your life is not in order. You're still not able to run your house well. And the scripture speaks against that. So if I lay my hands upon you and you are a corrupt seed, now I corrupt my entire ministry.
And let's send that to the ladies as well, because there are women out there of, because I'm just going to be myself, the Lord, you know, call me the pastor, I'm just going to be an apostle. No. We got to make sure that there is order within where God has called you to, and it lines up with the word of God. Again, he does not do anything outside of what his word says. The Bible is the whole instruction book. Anything that falls out of that, then that's not the will of God.
Right. And we have to understand that you can't go and form a reformation or form an organization, or even open a church because your leader saw fit to tell you the truth or to chastise you. That is not a good enough reason for you to go and open a church or for you to go form a reformation, okay? So we have to understand that rebellion is something that has to be dealt with in the body of Christ. Then we have to deal with the runaways, when we're running away from the truth. I just taught Bible study the other week, and the word of the Lord let us know that if you really love someone, the first thing you're going to do is tell them the truth. They may not like it, but you're going to tell them the truth. In the earth today, we have a commercial that says, friends, don't let friends drive drunk. Well, my philosophy is, if you are a friend to me and you love me, then friends, don't let friends die and go to hell. Tell me the truth, okay? All right, so, Elder Rod, what are we in the body of Christ doing about, because what I'm saying is that, or seeing is that, there are several people that are what I call people that have been in the gospel long enough to know better than to go and lay hands on someone or consecrate them to an office when they're not ready for it. What is it that you can say or have seen or experienced in the body of Christ with this situation where people are just affirming people or consecrating them just to have, you know, just to say, I did it?
Well, I've seen to where people have been consecrated or affirmed because that particular leader is saying, okay, God is calling me to have a fellowship. And just because there needs to be some type of position or something filled, the first person they get to join the ministry, they want to, you know, lay hands. Okay, I'm going to consecrate you. I'm going to make you my bishop.
Right.
So you're going to oversee this. So it's you know, just to show that, oh, I have all these people under me, and this is what that person is, and that's what's that. Another deal is that people have been consecrated as long as they paid a certain amount of money. If they say this
right.
is what they want to be, they paid that money, and boom, they were consecrated. Bishop, no questions asked.
Right.
We're not going to investigate. We're not going to research. Now, if and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know there's certain organizations, especially with COGIC, because they're, you know, one of the largest denominations in this country and world. But
right.
they research whom they're about to make a bishop. They look at all
right.
their qualifications. How long have they been with COGIC? The church they pastor in, what has been their stewardship over that church, what's the stewardship over, you know, in their life, what type of positions did they hold within their
right.
Respective district, jurisdiction,
yeah.
to the entire denomination at large. You know, what did they do? How did they do it? How did they conduct themselves when they were corrected? Were there any disciplinary actions taken? And if so, what were they? How severe they were? They do an extensive
right.
research on that person to make sure that they're qualified. And Scripture, there is no reproach. There must not be any
right.
reproach. So, you know, There are certain things that has to happen to make sure that, you know, if I say, Apostle, I believe God has called me to be an overseer, a bishop, and I'm ready for this, you're going to make sure, you're going to sit down with me, and you're going to make sure I got every little thing in order before you say, okay, now we're going to lay hands on it. And if you
yes,
don't
sir.
Feel like you are ready, to, or that I am ready, and you don't feel comfortable to do such thing, then you will say, I don't believe you're ready, number one. Number two, I'm not going to do it because I'm not comfortable doing it because I need to see this and that in order. And I should respect your authority and your leadership so much so that I can trust that there's something that you see in me that makes me not ready for this level. I can say all, I can mumble and whine all day long about it. I believe I read it. But if I say God has called me to your organization, then I must trust and believe that God is showing you something. And
right.
I just need to hold out. It's the same thing with ministry. Oh, Pastor, God has called me to preach. I believe God has called me to be a minister, and I'm ready. I shouldn't whine and complain or want to go to another church just because you say, okay, first thing you're going to do is start cleaning the church. I want you here every Saturday at 8 a.m., and you're going to start with the bathrooms, and you're going to work your way through the sanctuary, and then when you finish inside the building, I want you to sweep the steps and sweep all the leaves, move all that out of the way. You know, make sure the flowers and the shrubbery are all together. I shouldn't be... Because the first part of ministry is serving.
It's servant.
And if I can't do that well, if I got to whine about serving my church, not just my pastor, but my church, then how can I expect you to put me up in a pulpit and speak over people when I can't even show them that I can be a servant to you first.
And I pray that everybody is up to everybody's getting it tonight. That servitude, your servanthood is more important than you standing over the pulpit preaching. The very first thing that you're called to is to be a servant.
You have to show that. It's the same thing with going to being a bishop. Being a bishop is not just saying I have three or four churches or even just one church under me. Being a bishop is you being able to be an administrator.
Overseer, yeah.
Being an administrator, being able to keep operations going within your respective region, jurisdiction, district, or fellowship, whatever the case may be. Same thing with overseer. It's you being able to administrate properly. Same thing with being an apostle. Even a prophet. You have to have some level of administration when you're talking about accepting the office of such a position within the church.
Right.
Mother, minister, deacon, mother, everything. Certain levels of administration has to take place. Certain level of spiritual maturity. Certain level of servitude. The higher your rank, the more serving you should be.
This is so true. I want you to hear that tonight. Servanthood. It is very important that you learn how to serve and learn how to enjoy serving, because when you enjoy it, you do it from the heart. We're going to, at this point, take a quick break, and I have some questions that are coming, and we're going to deal with those questions. But we want to take a quick break. I'm going to come back in the second half, and we're going to talk more about this runaway and about how we are basically producing what we are. We're going to talk about how we are producing what we are. So if I am a runaway and I don't accept chastisement, then I will produce the very same thing up under my leadership. Stay right where you are, and we will be right back to discuss this further. Blessings on you all. We are so grateful that you chose to be a part of our show tonight.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. He's been good to me. Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for hanging in there with us as we took that break. And God has been good to me. I don't know about you, but he's been good to me. Elder Rod, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me tonight. I want to start this half off by talking about how the spirit of rebellion has creeped its way into the higher echelon of the body of Christ, because we now have a lot of affirmations and reformations coming up now that they really don't have any type of order, or we've seen many affirmations and reformations who can't even send you a manual to tell you anything about what they believe or anything of that nature. It's just like some stuff that's just thrown together. So, Elder Rod, how has the spirit of rebellion affected the higher echelon and taken away quality leadership from the church?
Of course it has affected a great deal, because when you are rebellious, you look for other people to join the crowd, and so therefore, what you do when rebellion happens, you begin to germinate others that will convince them to join you.
Yeah.
If you look at in slavery time, when somebody wanted to rebel against their master,
yeah,
they got others on board with their thinking, and they'll say, "Now, if you want us to really, really be able to take over, you got to get some old people." So not only did you corrupt them, but then they're corrupting others, and then they are corrupting others, and then there's just a continuation of that seed germination to where now you got a whole team, and y'all think y'all right, and you go against masters, and then now all y'all caught, and then it all goes down here. It's the same thing when it comes to the church, because you think Pastor Brown knows is not governing the church right, so you sow a seed of discord and germinate one person and say, "Now, if I was pastor, this is what I'll do. Or if I had a church, this is how things are going. Or this wouldn't be going on in my church. This wouldn't be going on in my reformation, in my fellowship. I have to do X, Y, and Z."
Yeah, and you know you're a great leader. Now, these folks talking that to you now. Oh, and you know
right.
you're a great leader. You would do wonderful. You would do excellent. Well, let's get things going. And now they done germinated to others and say, Elder so-and-so finna start ministry, and I believe, well, he called by God. He ain't doing all everything that Pastor Brown knows doing. Oh, it's going to be better. And now they all
right.
pretty much doing the same thing, or you're doing it even worse.
Right.
You relied on them boosting you up, but you really ain't got nothing together. You just looked at that one little thing, or even with Pastor Brown knows telling you, no, you're not ready to go and start a church. Well, I'm going to start a church. So now you want to go and do special services. And as soon
right.
as you start seeing some of them people from Pastor Brown's church and they supporting you, you think you got a ministry.
Right.
And after a while, you wonder why they all gone.
Right.
You know, that the rebellion calls people to get out of order. And if they're not careful, they're ending up staying out of order. And when you're out of order, you open yourselves up for confusion and greater attack than you can ever handle when you're out of the will of God, when you're out of place. Prophetess Juanita Bonham say all the time, when you are in the presence of God, meaning you are aligned with him and you are in order, you are with the answer, the enemy cannot touch you. He cannot speak to you. You cannot hear him. It's the
right.
same thing when you are aligned with God, when you are in order, you're not even paying attention what the devil doing and what he's saying to you. You're focused on
no.
the mind of the high calling,
right.
which is in and of and all Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You're not focused
yeah.
on everything else. And even if God shows you the wrongs of Pastor Brownos, that's not for you to rebel and pull people away from Pastor Brownos' church just to come to your church. That's for you to learn to not do what he's doing so that when God does shift you into the place of pastor, you'll know not to fall into the same traps and
wow.
the vices of the enemy. It's for you
right.
to learn.
So,
but yet also
so what, you are,
for him that God will align him according to God's word. Not, oh,
right.
he ought to be doing that. That ain't really God. God told me that ain't him. I'm going to go and start my own thing. Y'all come over here. We ain't going to be having that. No, you out of order.
Right.
Rebellion causes you to get out of order and everybody else, and it doesn't do anything but affect, because now, and you mentioned it earlier, now you're a renegade, and being a renegade is pretty much being a bastard, because now you're out there on your own. Nobody has released you. No one has said you're ready. Let's prepare you. Let's get you to this point. Let's, you know, pray for you and cover you. Now you're out there on your own, and you're looking for someone to validate you. No. You get validated before you get sent.
That's right.
David was validated by God through the prophet Samuel before he was set in the office, still years before he got set in office.
Right.
Of the king. And he had to go through hell and high water just to be prepared for that position.
That's right. That's right. And this is what I'm understanding, is that a lot of us have not been through anything. And so when we get in these offices, we don't have anything to offer the people because we have not been through anything. It's not how well you can preach that qualifies you for the office. It is the qualifying factors that happens prior to you getting in the office. Something that stuck out to me when you were speaking was, when you said, pray for your leader, and then you said, be faithful. So really, he was saying to us, listen, if there is something that's happening within the church or within your affirmation or reformation or with your bishop that you do not agree with, it is your position to pray for your leader and to continue to be faithful not to your leader, but to God. Continue to be faithful. Continue to show up and do what God has called you to do until there is a such thing as a release from God. And even if there is a release from the Lord, he's going to give you the proper way and the proper time for you to leave the house. It's not going to be leaving the house for you to start your own ministry. So we got that all cleared up. All right? So I want to talk about being a product of where you come from. If Elder Rod is my bishop and I leave Elder Rod, or I leave Bishop Harris, and I leave him because of a decision that he makes for the ministry, I'm disrespectful to him. I'm out in the community scandalizing his name and carrying on all types of evil. What takes place is Elder Rod does not have to defend himself because I'm now heaping coals upon my head. Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. So God has him in the position. He is now God's man, not my man. And so it's not my place to correct him. And so when I put my mouth on him, now I put myself in a dangerous position. Okay? And what I do is now I go open up this church and I have these people who want to come and be a part of my ministry. And you can bet your bottom dollar that somebody is getting ready to do to you what you just did to Bishop Rod. Somebody is going to come and give you the exact same thing that you just gave your leader. And I think we don't think about it when we're being raised as children. There are a lot of life lessons that our mothers teach us and fathers teach us that really we should pay a lot of attention to even in our spiritual life. Something that my mother used to always say to me is, that's fine, Darian, because somebody, one of your children, you're going to have children one day, and one of them are going to be just like you. They're going to talk just like you. They're going to walk just like you. And in the body of Christ, I find that we have the very same thing that happens with our spiritual children. Somebody is going to give you exactly what you gave the prior pastor. Elder Rod, how important is it for us as men and women of God coming up under leadership to be respectful and to be able to find ourselves busy, not working the work of our leader, but working the work of God? And all of these things are prerequisites to becoming the bishop or the apostle. You should not be sitting around waiting on somebody to tell you what to do when you're desiring the office of bishop. You should not be sitting around waiting on someone to tell you what to do when you're desiring the office of apostle. You should not be sitting around when you're saying, I've been called to preach the gospel. So you see the paper on the floor, you can't even clean the church and make the sanctuary ready for the people, but you were called to preach. So these are prerequisites. So, Elder Rod, how important is it for us to be able to operate in those prerequisites before our leaders even think about acknowledging promotion?
It's very important because it does two things. It shows you where you are and the areas that you need to work on, and what's your strength and what's your weaknesses within being prepared for that level. Again, it all falls back into maturity, and when you're mature, you're wise, you have a certain level of wisdom. So in your time of preparation, it shows you how much wisdom you have when it comes down to that particular office, how mature and how ready you are. Number two, it shows the leader how mature and how ready you are, and what you may need to strengthen, or what you may need to stop focusing on. Nowadays,
right.
I see so many people focus so much on the art of preaching versus the character and integrity of the preacher. People focus on preaching versus to building the preacher.
Right.
Preaching can come easy. Anybody can nowadays can pick up a mic and say, "I'm the Lord saying, 3 days, you're going to get a miracle."
Yeah.
Anybody can get a nice little Hufflepuff, a Latoon, especially if they're a good old singer. Anybody can throw some rolls up in anybody. Go get a 3-year-old and let them sit in church for a good month. I guarantee you they're going to come back home and do exactly what the preacher did, the shout, the tones, and everything else. Trust me. I did it when I was 3 years old.
That's right.
I know it's possible. Anybody can do it. But to make them an integral minister, man of God, woman of God, servant of the Lord, you must build them and their character. Help them see their strengths and their weaknesses, what they're good at, their gifts, their callings. All of that must show because this is one of the things that we will, I know within our fellowship, talk to our ministers about, do they know what gifts that they have and they possess?
That's right.
You know, do they know certain scriptures within the Bible that will lead somebody to Christ? Do they know what the qualifications are of a minister, evangelist, you know, so forth, of a deacon, all that type of stuff? Because if you don't, then you need a little bit more time. And if we don't sit down and talk about these things and really teach our people, they're never going to know. They're going to be uneducated ministers of the gospel. And we don't need uneducated folk. Not in this day and
time. That's right.
Not for the whole cliches type stuff. And yes, holiness is right. It's still right, and it's still it's a must have. But let's break it down. Let's be able to sit down and teach what the Word of God says about being holy, not just preach.
Yeah.
Again, you can preach it all day long. You got to be holy. You got to be righteous. Well, if you ain't telling me what the Word is saying about being holy and being righteous, how can I live it when I don't know?
That's right.
Especially if I'm a newcomer, I believe God called me to preach, but I'm a newcomer, so I know there's still things that I got to get right. I'm reading my word, but it's just King James Version. I don't know what it's really saying to me. I'm being able to memorize what the word is saying, but I don't know how to make it applicable to my life. So teach me how to make it applicable. That's what we have to do. Be apt to teach. When you're talking about desiring the office of a bishop or saying that God has called you to be an apostle, how can you teach? Being an apostle is being a father. Most people just look at it as you being able to start a church, get it together, put somebody over there, you go in and start it. No, you're being what makes you have, what gives you the ability to put someone else as a pastor over that church, as you fathering or mothering them.
That's right.
Saying, these are all the tools that I know in order to be successful as a pastor. And this is what I'm about to give you, because one day you're going to take this over, and I got to go to the next level and do all God has called me to do. So now I got to father you, I got to nurture you, I got to give you everything that I got. When you become an apostle or bishop, you got to give all of yourself, not just a piece, because you think they're going to take your position. No, you won't always be a bishop.
Wow.
They might be a bishop, too, one day, and it may be in your fellowship, or they might be of their own, but you gave all of you so that they can be better than you. It's the same thing with being a father and mother in the natural. As a mother, you want to teach that little girl all that you know of how to be a righteous and wonderful woman, number one, and then a mother, because she's going to grow up and it's going to be just like her. Same thing with the father and the son. The problem that we have, the scripture says one day that mothers will be against their fathers, mothers will be against their daughters, and fathers against their sons. There are too many mothers going against the daughters, and there are too many fathers going against the sons.
To yeah.
Fathers thinking that, oh, they're trying to be better than me. They should. Me as a
they
son,
should be.
A better bishop or apostle than a apostle House. Because
that's right.
All of himself to say, hey, these are things to look out for. I should be a better pastor. I should be a better prophet than you are because you're giving all of yourself.
Yeah.
Everything you know. Even as you're learning, you don't learn that? Okay, this is what I just learned, and I see you going through this too. So this is things that you should look out for or consider this and see if this may help you through this time.
Right.
And again, that's showing servitude. When you're serving, you're forgetting about yourself and you're meeting the needs of others. Jesus was the high priest, but yet he served every 12 disciples before he got on that cross and died.
He
served God, which is Father, but he served even Peter, who lied on him, cussed, and cut people's ear off. He still served him. And then he told him, if you love me, feed my sheep. He baptized Peter, but yet he also brought him back to the place of restoration. A father should not let their son go and be in rebellion and let them stay out, come back, restore such a one, and then lead them into a better path.
That's right.
You want to be a bishop?
And
you want to be an apostle? Show yourself of being servant and being able to father someone else. Not the same age as you and got the same word as you. That ain't father. Someone that you can build from the ground up.
That's right.
That's a lot of power. A lot of things that's been going on. And correct me if I'm wrong. There are too many of it's like me coming to another elder. We about the same age. We started ministry about the same time, and I'm saying that's my son. No.
Right. That's right. That's right.
I led them to Christ, and I've been through the trenches with them since they've gave their life over to God, going through that process of deliverance and holiness and living right, teaching them all so that they can be a holy and righteous person. When they get to year one, year two, year five of being a child of God.
Right. That's right. And you do, it's very important that you understand that you have to walk with your sons, you have to walk with your daughters, and you cannot, deviate from walking with them and serving with them and teaching them and showing them. And it's a whole lot of giving up here. For those of you that are saying, well, the bishop is something I desire to be, or the apostle is something that I feel like God is calling me to. Listen, it's a whole lot of serving. It's a lot of giving of yourself. If you're not ready for that, then you're not ready for the office. Something that was sent to me, and I'm going to read it in its entirety, Elder Rod, and I want you to respond to this young man tonight, a young man that has become very dear to my heart. He wrote me and said, my spiritual gifts, he's in a class that is teaching about spiritual gifts. He said, my spiritual gift teacher told me I am a true prophet of God, but she doesn't have the knowledge to teach me any further than her class. She said, I need to be teaching her and the class or helping with the class. I asked her, should I find another church so I can operate in my gift or get more teaching on my gift? She said, no, she can't make that call. Okay? So this young man is basically asking, if I have maximized my, I've basically passed by my teacher. I'm in a place where I feel like I'm in a dead end, and I'm not progressing any further. And he is asking, what is he supposed to do at this point?
If your teacher is saying this is past my ability, that is a sign of wisdom on her end. So you should thank her that, or him, whoever it is, but thank them of the fact that they acknowledge, I don't know this area. This is not my expertise. Number two, it's giving you number one, pray. And step number two, pray. Okay, pray that God gives you wisdom to know how to handle the situation. Number two, to give you the direction of where to go and what to do. Because if him or her cannot handle your level or that gift, then someone must be there to cultivate. And that could either be where God is showing you that he's about to shift you to someone else's class or ministry so that you can learn that area, or he's about to bring that person to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get so caught up, okay, they can't do it, so I'm going to go over here, but it may not be time for that yet. So it definitely takes prayer that God leads and guides you in that area of where to go or what
right.
to do that aspect. Number three, ask your teacher if he or she knows someone who has expertise in that area that can help you. Now, if they're your pastor, they won't be so jealous enough or think that they're going to lose you as a member by saying, well, go to Pastor Bigfoot over here because he's a powerful man of God and a powerful prophet, very integral, has maturity, and he's accurate with the word of God. Then trust and believe that he trusts that man of God, to teach you all that you should know in order to cultivate your gift as a prophet.
Right.
Now, if they say, I don't know anyone, then you seek otherwise counsel that may know someone who's mature, accurate, and integral, has integrity and honesty that can teach you what you need to know in
right.
their respective area. Now, sometimes it may take maybe having to talk to someone outside of your city, but try and seek someone who's within your city or region so that you will be able to, whenever you have liberty to, maybe you could visit a service that they're preaching at, or maybe they're going to visit because God has led them there, and you can see how they operate a flow in the spirit and in the prophetic so that you can learn. Number one way of learning is just by watching. It's not always talking to you and giving you information. If you can just watch, if you can just listen, another great way is maybe finding out who are some very seasoned and accurate prophets that maybe you could look up on YouTube and be able to watch a couple of their services. Don't sit there all day, every day, trying to look up different prophets, because then you'll get trees and things entered in you. You want to seek out seasoned, mature, and integral prophets at all levels so that you can learn.
Right.
Because there may be an instance that you get all of this information with one prophet, but you need to glean something else from another prophet. And again, that all takes in you praying to God and him leading you and guiding you and what to do. There's some awesome books on the prophetic. Bishop Bill Hammett is my number one guy that I try to get any book that I can when it comes to prophetic call, prophetic office, and the apostolic office and realm of the spirit. He's very good. Bishop Bill Hammond is out of Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, and he's known all over this nation with training men and women as prophets and apostles.
Right.
Derek Prince, I believe that's his name. Dutch Sheets, he's very good. They're very awesome prophets that have written books on the prophetic that you can go ahead and start reading until the time comes that God places or gives you a mentor or connects you with someone who can mentor you and train you within that area.
Right, right. And something that we have to understand as well is that, as Elder Rod said, one of the greatest ways of learning the gift or learning the gift of prophecy of is to, number one, observe. Another wonderful thing that I've experienced in my life is another great way to have that gift to become activated in you is to sit under a leader who has the gift or who operates in the gift. And we have to understand that, and please, everybody that's listening tonight, I'm not telling anybody to leave their church, okay?
Amen.
But we have to understand that there comes a time and season in our lives that we may outgrow where we are, that leader may have given us all that leader can give us. It does not make that leader a bad leader. It doesn't make them somebody who, you know, wasn't up on what they were supposed to be doing. Maybe that's all they have. And so this is why Elder Rod says you have to pray and you have to seek God concerning your time at this particular ministry. And it may be time for you to move on so that you can get what you got to get. Because there is,
Amen.
In this season, God is raising up men and women of God who will obey. Some of us, and I'm going to say this in these last few minutes, because it's something that I was praying about even today while I was out taking care of business, is that in this season, I have an issue with sitting up under people's ministries who are not giving seasoned, pure word. I have a problem with that because when you give me something on my stomach, my natural stomach, that my stomach doesn't agree with, it makes me sick, all right? We have to be mindful of what we're eating and where we're eating with our spiritual food, because if it's something that is not properly prepared, it is going to make you sick. It's going to make you spiritually sick, and you're going to deal with things spiritually that you would not ordinarily deal with, or problems that you would not ordinarily have. And so there are some things that I oftentimes tell Alabaster Box to look for. If the favor of God is resting on the leadership of the house, then the favor of God should be resting on the house. If God is allowing the prophecy to flow in the house and he's allowing prophecy to manifest in the house, then you understand that God has, he has his hand resting on this house. His anointing is resting here. And these are things that we need to look for as people of God. Stop looking for the person that's smooth with their words. Stop looking for the individual that has the largest ministry. Stop looking for the people that have 13 bands and 5 kitchens and TVs all through the sanctuary, because all of these earthly things are going to pass away. But there is a new heaven and a new earth coming, and in order for you to make it to that place, you've got to have the church on the inside of you. And so a very good sign that you are in the wrong place is when your leader is not able to build you and promote you. If your leader is not able to pour into you, build you, and promote you, or get you ready for the season that is coming upon your life, then that is a direct notification that you are in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because it is our job as fathers in the gospel to see the gift that's in you and to also cultivate it. It's our job. That is what we are designed to do. And so if we're not doing that, then we're not in our proper place. So tonight, I'm grateful for Elder Rod who was able to join us tonight, and I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here with us tonight to talk about this very, very important topic. Because we've got to stop allowing every and anything to go on in the body of Christ. We need to come back to a place of holiness, a place of wholeness, set the standards, and live by them. And so I appreciate you tonight for being a part of this show. I really want for the young men and young women of God to understand that it is our season. This is our time. God has called us to this time for us to be the next season or the next generation of leaders, but we have to make sure that we're doing it properly. We can't do it being rebellious and being disobedient and not doing what we're supposed to do and run away from chastisement and then want to start a reformation or a church. It doesn't work that way. You have to do everything decent and in order if you want God to be a part of it. He does not work in confusion. Tonight, as we prepare to close, Elder Rock, would you lead us in prayer?
Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for this time, being able to conversate and see where we as the body of Christ may err according to your word and according to your will. Father, now I ask that those that are listening, oh God, would take all that is said to heart, oh God, and align according to your will and your precepts. Father, I ask now that those that may not even be have not listened tonight but may listen later, oh God, that if they may be in the wrong or in error, oh God, of your will, that this word and this this radio show will cause them to line according to your word. I ask now that you be with them, oh God. God, I ask that you give them revelation and insight, give them wisdom, oh God, to do all that you have called them to do and to do it right, do it in order, oh God, and according to your will. Father, I ask now that you be with every person that is desiring, oh God, to step into the call of God that you have called them to, oh God. I ask now that they be connected with the right people, that they be connected with the right maturity level, the right seasoned saints that will cause them to live a standard, oh God, and live holy and righteous according to your word. Father, I ask that you keep them safe, keep them close to you, oh God, so that nothing may deter them or draw them away from your holy word, oh God. You said, oh God, that if we are not careful, the very elect will be deceived, oh God. And we are asking now, God, that as your elect, as your called out, your chosen ones, that we, God, keep our minds on you, that we keep according to your precepts and your word, oh God, so that we won't be drawn away by the enemy devices. God, keep us holy, strengthen us now, strengthen our minds and hearts to do all that you have called us to do, oh God. Lead us into a pain path, oh God, a path of purity, of righteousness, and holy. We'll give you praise and all these things and all these blessings we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We are most grateful for all of you being a part. I saw some Georgia tonight. I saw some Mississippi tonight. I'm just very happy that you all chose to join us. Some Pensacola people and some Alabaster Box people, thank you so much for all of your support. We love you, and we really appreciate you being a part. Those of you that are in the Pensacola area or maybe surrounding areas and you desire to come in for some of this revival, we are in revival starting on tomorrow night, and it will continue through the entire month with 5 a.m. prayers every Saturday morning. I have Elder Rod Harris that will come in from Tallahassee to help out with the revival. I also have Apostle Michael Calhoun, that will also be helping out with the revival, will be here with us. And I'm telling you, and then myself as well, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. It's something that you definitely want to be a part of. As we're gearing up to prepare to go out into the hedges and the highways and compel the people to come unto God, this is something that every church needs to do. We're preparing. We're getting ourselves ready. We're gassing up to go out and compel the people to come. And so we want to invite you to come out. As I said, it will be 7 o'clock nightly, And on Saturday morning, we will have 5 a.m. prayer with no service on Saturday night. But every weeknight will be at 7 o'clock, Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Sunday service will be at 2 o'clock as normal. And we want you to come out and be a part. We're also asking that you find a way to donate, to help us feed somebody, help us clothe somebody, help us further ministry. If you desire to sow or be a part of this wonderful thing that we're doing at Alabaster Box, you can do so at alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it's alabasterboxcm.org. And so definitely go to the website and sow there, and we will most definitely appreciate you, and we thank you in advance for all that you are helping us to do. Elder Rod, do you have any last words before we leave the air tonight?
No, my sir, I am all good.
Amen, amen. So we speak blessings on you all tonight. We love you. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And you have a wonderful night. And meet us back here next Tuesday for another topic that we will discuss on Real Talk with Darian A. House.